T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us right now, my good buddy, the face of the NFL Network. And that, of course, is the great Rich Eisen. Rich, how are you, bro?
Gentlemen, it's been too long. It really has been too long.
Rich, it's great talking to you. Well, by the way, can I just tell you this? Let me just say it.
Go ahead.
This thing you're doing with the top 100, with the anniversary, it's phenomenal.
I'm glad you like it. Joe, it's maybe it's like the circle of life. I don't know what it is, but I just remember 16 years ago we launched and we talked about the NFL Network, and you would hold me responsible for everything you found wrong with it.
I did.
Commercials, that, all this business.
Well, now it's football now. Now we're actually getting football.
Gosh.
I mean, the Good Morning Football show gets a little cheesy.
Gosh.
But we got it on every day. No, we have
we
it on
every
day.
Yeah.
It's called entertainment.
Them on now.
It's called entertainment.
I understand, but we got them on now. You know, and we love that Schrager's tight with Christopher Johnson, and he's helping him make moves. We love that. We're so high on that, you know?
Oh, my word.
You know what, Rich? Here's what I would say about the NFL Network all these years later. I, as a sports fan, I can't imagine life without it.
I love it. Right. I love you saying that. Thank you for saying that. And I thank you what you said, too, Joe. I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, every now and then I do stop and, you know, I was just in the first – the main first studio, the only studio that we started in when we started 16 years ago. I shot something in there just the other day for NFL 100 series. And, you know, the game day morning show that I do is in the second studio that we added. And that's most of where I do the stuff for the NFL Network studio shows now. But I was back in the old NFL Total Access Studios and just standing in the spot where I strolled around the corner and then walked down into the main studio and started NFL Network 16 years ago this month. It blows me away. It's pretty cool. It's great. And the NFL 100 series is fun. What's coming on Friday night at 8 o'clock New York time is truly one of the most special shows or projects I've ever been a part of. It's the top 100 team. It's not a countdown. It's not 100-1. It's just a team of 100 men that includes coaches. And it's just revealed position by position group over a 6-week span every Friday night at 8 Eastern time. And I know Friday night, sometimes people are out and about and just set your DVR. It really is very special. And I'm hosting it. Very honored to do that. We shot it at NFL Films back in May. The set is amazing. The wall, I guess like the monument wall that's created and built throughout the 6 weeks is people get named and then they're put on the wall. It's a beautiful looking set in that regard. One corner of the set I don't want to reveal yet, but when you see it, it is unprecedented. There's nothing like it in the history of sports television, I think. And then we have two analysts on the show. One is Chris Collinsworth, who is a Rolls-Royce analyst. His storytelling ability is first rate. And, you know, the fact that he played in the 80s and has a significance because he can touch upon so many great players from the 70s and 80s that he played against. I mean, he can tell stories about Paul Brown, seeing him in the locker room. And obviously his ability to talk about contemporary players is second to none, as we see on Sunday nights on NBC. And then, you know, they came to me in January of this year, the NFL Network, telling me about this show being a possibility and you know, how it would take me out of my show chair of the show I do every day for radio and TV for AT&T and Audience, DirecTV. And they're like, you know, you might have to get out of your chair for a couple of days. It just depends on when one of the analysts that we're targeting, he's free. And I'm like, well, who's that? You know, like, I mean, who would that be?
Belichick,
and they
right?
said Bill Belichick. Yeah, and I literally stopped walking down the hallway. Like I was literally stopped in my tracks. And And he's amazing at it. I mean, he's amazing at it. And to be honest with you, part of the price of his agreeing to do it was that it is not a countdown show. It is not ranking players. It does not put anybody in a position of this person's better than that or why didn't this person make it.
Right.
He just discusses who makes it, and he is phenomenal at it.
Yeah. Well, he's a savant. I mean, let's be honest. Bill is a football savant.
What does he say about himself? Because he's obviously one of the great coaches of all time.
I will tell you this. He is effusive over the six hours. It's definitely six shows. I don't know how they're going to cut it down to NFL films, but he is so into it, and you could tell his passion for history, sports, of the sport and of football and the people who are there. There's a ton of in-studio guests who are there physically on the set as guests, and we mix it up, and they become part of the panel, and it's a great conversation, and they're all blown away, not only about the honor, certainly since the fact that they thought once they got in the Hall of Fame that there wouldn't be something that would maybe humble them again, and this does. And the person who adds to the humility of it is the fact that Belichick is sitting there welcoming them. And again, he is effusive, and his storytelling and his ability to talk about him is, again, second to none. And then we get around to talking about him, because I'm not telling any tales out of school when you're talking about coaches. And he did reflect a little bit. He allowed a little bit of reflection about him. But when he came, the one time, and again, not telling any tales out of school, that Lombardi's on this list, he did revert to his moving on to Cincinnati, is when I asked him about being called or thought of as a modern-day Lombardi. And that one, the Belichick that you see at the podium Monday through Sunday, quickly returned, and I hope that makes the broadcast, because we kind of pointed that out in real time. Man, it was great.
You know,
it really was.
I want to go back to it, because to me, I was all over the top 100 games, and we just had last week the top 100 teams.
Yes,
and I thought you pretty much nailed it with the top 10. I got to say that I thought you pretty much nailed it with the top 10. That's me.
Look, I'm glad you did think that way, and. You know, look, these shows are built for argument and debate, if you will, and, you know, that's what so much of our world is, and not just, I'm not talking about sports talk radio. You see all those TV shows with split screens down the middle and people on the left and right side having differing opinions, and there is a show after each episode of Top 100 where there is a debate show, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Belichick wanted no part of that. And I don't blame him. You know, I mean, this is a very touchy subject. He's also part of the group of selectors. And, I mean, the names that get left off the list, it's absurd. It's positively absurd. You could make an argument that a lot of these folks deserve to be on. And then normally you do start focusing on, like, well, this person's from the 30s and 40s. Really, that person's on the list, but the one who's been racking up all the fantasy football stats is not. And, you know, so that does lend to argument, and that's not what this actual show is about. It's the show after that that's about that. But it is a recitation and a stroll down memory lane with tons of great conversations, because each show features three members of the all-time team being brought in physically to be welcomed to it.
Oh, that's cool.
That is pretty good, bro. Really good.
The series premieres Friday, 8 o'clock.
The running backs is Friday night,
that's
I think,
the first one, yeah.
Yeah, 12 running backs. And again, you'll be very surprised who is not on it. I mean, but just one quick other Belichick story, just how he adds to this is, you know, I mean, NFL Films, who produced it, wisely hands off the players from the 30s and 40s to him. It's called the Belistrator, where he gets when a coach's clicker, and he breaks down whatever grainy footage NFL Films could unearth about these players. And he knows everything about these folks. And then we start talking about, like, the 50s and 60s, and he's familiar with tons of these players because his dad was such an integral part of coaching in that time, and exposed Belichick to a lot of these players who he physically met. There is one quarterback who I won't mention here. He talks about being in that quarterback's camp as a kid and says, you know what, I didn't catch passes from him, because I was the center on my team. So I just snapped the ball to him. And afterwards, in a commercial break, Collinsworth and I look at each other and basically like shared, like, is that the most Belichick thing you could possibly hear? It's like, I didn't catch from the quarterback. I snapped it to him because I was the center. And then, of course, you get to the 80s and the 90s, and he's now a coordinator for some of the all-time against some of the all-time greats, four Parcells, an all-time great, and then his head coaching experience. Really, there's no better analyst for this, and it's 8 Eastern Friday.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
We're talking to Rich Eisen. What do you think is going to happen with Myles Garrett? They have heard his appeal. The decision is expected today. How do you think this ends?
It ends with saying, okay, once your suspension's over, you don't have to visit us to get cleared. I mean, there's no way he gets back on the field this year.
None.
I mean, we now know what the penalty is for using the crown of one's own helmet against someone. I mean, you got to be kidding me. So he's lucky that somehow, some way that helmet that he was grasping by the face mask didn't get flipped over in the scrum, because if he had actually connected with Mason Rudolph's head with the crown of his own helmet, he could have killed him. And I'm not saying this, you know, because I'm a hand wringer or trying to be overly dramatic. It's a fact. I mean, when Kermit Washington pulled back getting ready to hit Rudy Tomjanovich, did he think he was going to break his face into a million pieces? I mean, no, of course not. When Marty McSorley was so pissed off about a fight with Donald Brashear, and he went to go slash him towards the end of the game, did he think it would disconnect the helmet from his head and thus have his head hit, back of his head hit the ice and cause a seizure and then get 18 months of probation? Did he really think that? Of course not. But it happened. So did he think, Myles Garrett, that when he hit Mason Rudolph with his helmet that it could possibly kill him? Of course not. He's lucky it didn't. And just because we now have a few days removed from it and we're now talking more football and other things doesn't take away from the seriousness of it. And he is going to be sat next time we see him is in 2020. And I think it was very generous of the NFL in their press release to say that he would be out for any possible postseason games. I thought it was very generous use of the term postseason with the Browns right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Talking to the face of the NFL Network, our good buddy, longtime buddy with me back to the overnight days. And that, of course, is Rich Eisen. All right, what do you think of the state of our football team here right now, Rich? I know you never would admit it on the air, but you are.
I admit it. I mean,
and you know what? It's funny too. I'm going to say this too. Michael Irvin was telling us, because we have him on every week.
Oh man,
that when you were in London when they beat the Cowboys, there you are. Okay. You know, you're watching the game with Michael, and when when Sam hits Robbie Anderson for that 90-yard touchdown, Michael walks out of the room.
This is great. Let me tell you, because I'm sure he didn't give you the full scope.
No, I don't. I don't think he did.
So we called the Bucks and the Panthers
for NFL Network. Right.
So that game starts 2:30. We're done. We all go to dinner, and I'm there with my wife, and Mooch is there with his wife. Kurt is there, and Irv is there, and some of our friends who we know from London are there. It's like a group of like 8 people, 10 people. And we're watching some of these games on iPad, like the early 1 o'clock games is on at night there. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So
we're trying
to monitor some of this, and Jets are playing Cowboys, my team versus Irv's. And for some possible crazy reason, the Jets have shown up like they're playing in 1969. Right. And so it's awesome. Irv is getting really fidgety and nervous. I'm following on my phone on the ESPN app, which is a play in front of, I guess, the satellite delayed video feed that Michael's watching on his iPad. So I saw the fourth down stop by the Jets
defense before
that happened.
Irv was getting, that
was it for him. He was done with the fourth down stop. He was getting up and basically apologized to everyone that he's got to leave. He's got to leave because he's got to go back to his hotel room and be by himself to watch the rest of this game. As he's going through that soliloquy, I'm seeing on my app that the next play is a big fat touchdown to Robbie Anderson.
Right.
And I say to Irv, I'm like, Mike, come on. Just give it a couple more minutes, okay? Just sit
so
down.
You know this ahead of time, right.
Sit down and just come on. Just be sociable, man. Sit down, fully knowing he was about to see what he saw, at which point in the middle, Robbie Anderson has yet to even break the end zone. He's like, I'm out of here.
That's beautiful. That is good
and
stuff.
And bolted. And, of course, I told him, you know, days later, I'm like, Michael, don't worry. I picked up the check. Don't worry. I got it. He dined and dashed. He was out, like Robbie Anderson hitting the end zone.
Right.
But all that said, I talked about it on my show all the time. The very, very rare triple header of mononucleosis, ghosts, and toenails is something that you never see coming. Can't plan for it. And I just want the Jets to get through this season with Sam Darnold's psyche intact. Just got to get through it. Got to get through it where he doesn't regress to the point where it is an absolute mess that can't be reclaimed, whether it is Gase who gets the chance to do it or it's somebody else after him. And that's the paramount aspect here. The unfortunate aspect about it is this is a lost season, which it is, because in the NFL, you could say, well, Sam's developing. I mean, he's got to develop, right? He's got to get there and develop. Problem is, first 5 weeks of the season was not of any development other than him getting over mono. And in the NFL, as we see with Dallas and we've seen with Seattle back in the day, when you draft somebody in the top five at the quarterback position, you better win with them in their first contract, because when the second contract rolls around, you're going to either completely change around your salary cap structure or how you have built your team, or you will end up having to make a decision by paying a quarterback who has not yet even proven himself in the postseason a poop ton of money.
Mm.
And that's the situation that the Jets appear to be in right now.
Well, the clock is ticking.
Oh,
I mean,
there's
to
no
your
doubt.
Point.
There's no question about it.
I mean, take a look at all the teams with their first – I mean, Mahomes and Watson are on their first years of first contracts. That's when you got to win with these guys.
Yeah,
now,
no, you're right.
Good for them is they've already seen what these guys can do and their big contracts await. And you could basically say whatever – the Cowboys decided to do with Dak is costing them money with each passing second, but that's their problem. The Jets have a quarterback. Is he the guy? Because he torched the Redskins? Maybe? I don't know. I don't know what I'm learning here at all.
Well, you know what?
That's the problem. Year three is now going to be either with Gase, and it's going to be a prove it year for him, or do you really blow him out and go give Darnold a third new head coach in his first 3 years? Do you really do that?
Well, you know what we need to see, Rich? They got a very favorable schedule here right now. They need to get on a roll here. Now, they've won two in a row. Oakland is not insurmountable at home this week. I mean, that's how I look at that game. Why can't they win that game? Then you play the Bengals and the Dolphins at home. I want to see a five-game winning streak going into that Baltimore game.
Okay, brother. Like, you don't think Fitzmagic is going to come in and do his usual
thing? No, I think they got there.
AJ Green's ankle
I could see them beating the Raiders and losing to the Bengals, of course.
Now, they could beat the Raiders, but the Raiders, to me, are a playoff team.
Maybe.
You think
they're definitely making the playoffs?
I think they're going to be 10-6 and make it. Oh, yeah.
Have a weak schedule.
That helps them significantly.
Yeah. Look, they have the offensive rookie of the year. This kid, Jacobs, I don't know how much you've seen of him.
No, he's terrific. I understand it.
But no. He looks to me like Zeke. He does. He's big.
Okay.
He takes a 4-yard gain and turns it into
eight. Think they will not beat the Raiders? There's no shot to beat the Raiders this week.
I don't say there's no shot.
Okay.
But the Raiders are the better team coming in.
Okay. Well, we know that.
No, well, look, hold on a second. The Jets have, hopefully, a generationally talented guy quarterback. I don't know yet.
We don't know.
One thing I know for a fact, 33 is a generationally talented player.
And they got to pay him eventually, too.
Well, I mean, not for a while.
Well, but still.
But, He is an.
Oh, he's tremendous. Oh,
look, I know Joe Douglas is. Joe Douglas is a very good friend of Daniel Jeremiah, where I thought I was going to lose my second draft analyst to the NFL front office in as many years.
Right.
And I'm thrilled that he stayed. But he knows. He calls the Jets offseason a Noah's Ark offseason. I'm like, what do you mean by that? It's Daniel Jeremiah. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, they need two of everything. Two tackles, two pass rushers, two receivers. They need, two more defenders. I mean, he go on and on and on. So I understand that you need to see what you can do if you can get a Jalen Ramsey type deal, I guess, for Jamal Adams. But that's the kid you build around.
Yeah.
That's the kid
No, we agree with that.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
we totally agree with that.
Deal a guy
of course.
Like that.
We saw Revis get dealt, and, you know, please. I don't want to see this guy go. Of course not.
So, I mean, that's my response here is, you know, last 2 weeks of fun to see, great. But right now, I mean, you've got to figure, you know, you draft somebody in your top five at the quarterback position. It would be very helpful to try and put together a team that can possibly win the Super Bowl in the first 5 years of that kid's contract.
Well,
and the Jets aren't anywhere remotely close.
But what's also important is this coach. Do you believe he's the coach? Do you believe he's the right
guy?
I
have to leave that up to you, to be honest with you.
Leave it up to us, then the answer's no.
No.
I mean,
you're the ones who see him every single day.
The answer's
no. All I know is I turn on the television set and I just watch that first, 5-6 weeks of the season. And it was a total unmitigated disaster. But then again, like I said, the line is beyond, what would you say, banged up or untalented.
It's not good. It's not good.
I love Ryan Khalil. It's just been the damn shame that he wasn't like a missing piece that could take them to another level. He got hurt. And it's just
he was playing terrible to begin with.
None of it's worked out, man. None of it has worked out. And what a crusher that in the first 6 weeks, which was the biggest part of the season because it was the toughest schedule and had all these nationally televised games, the kid comes down with mono. I mean, how the hell does that happen?
Well, he also blew the Buffalo game when he played. I mean, he had a 16-0 lead in that game. Let's not forget that.
I don't know.
I'm not
making any excuses. What, mono just comes out of nowhere? I don't know. He certainly looked he looked lost in week one, so maybe that had part to do with it. I just don't know if he's the right answer yet.
We don't know.
I thought by the end of year two that we would get that, and hopefully the next 5-6 weeks might give you an indication.
Is Mitchell Trubisky the answer in Chicago?
I mean, we could go on. Is Marcus Mariota? Obviously, he's not
the
answer in Tennessee.
No.
Trubisky, my prediction is the Bears are going to run it back one more year with him.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Is Mariota done in Tennessee?
Yes.
You think he's done?
I do.
You know what I think Chicago could do?
I mean, is Jameis Winston the answer in Tampa? I mean, we could go on with
You know what? That London game I was telling you about with Irv was the Bucs, and they liked him a lot. Him and Arians the rest of the team, Byron Leftwich is the OC, they like him. He just can't. And it was funny, Arians told us before the game, because it's just been a few weeks since he's made that mistake where we just look out there and go, what are you thinking? And then he turned it over six times.
I'm going to throw you another one. Is Carson Wentz the answer in Philadelphia?
Yes, he is.
Is he?
He is for the next couple of years, he is.
Well, he might be, but I don't know that he's the guy. I don't know that he's that good.
But they're not making any moves.
Who's he throwing to?
Well, Nelson Agholor and all his drops.
He stunk last week, I'll tell you that.
Well, there was no Alshon Jeffrey, and there was no, Jordan Howard. And here's the amazing thing, and we got to get used to it. And it's I forget who was a guest on my show. They'll just bleed together, as I'm sure you know. Who came on and said last year's Super Bowl might have been the indication that the NFL thrown around winging it all over the place. Oh, it was Berman. Chris Berman said this. That last year's Super Bowl, and I thought it was an interesting point, might have given you an indication of a sea change in the NFL, where touchdowns are suddenly become scarce and defenses can go ahead and impose its will. And sure enough, who's the one who won that Super Bowl and who has given up on defense 0.9 touchdowns per game for the first 10 weeks of the
season? Of course, Bill.
Right, and that's why the Ravens are fascinating to me, because of the 9 touchdowns the Patriots have given up, the Ravens scored 4
games. Let me ask you this question then. That's going to lead to this question now. We're talking about New England. In the NFC, maybe there's six teams that maybe they could beat them in the Super Bowl. It's possible. But in the AFC, the only team I could see that can beat them is the Ravens. I mean, do you agree with that or not?
Well, I don't agree with that. I think there is an any given Sunday mentality in which, you know, possibly Mahomes shows up and wings it all over the place.
In
my concern about the Chiefs is they don't have any running game, which is why Mahomes
gets backed up. Their defense isn't any good.
I don't know. Their defense can – Frank Clark is a premium pass rusher who can show up, and Tyrann Mathieu's on the back end. And Spagnuolo, as you know, has a history of dialing it up when the weather gets cold in January. I'm not going to discount them yet. Obviously, okay. The Ravens are the best chance. Another team that I just always love, that everybody sleeps on, are the Colts. And I look forward to seeing them
tonight.
How
resilient are they, man?
They're resilient. But, I mean, you really think the Colts could go into Foxborough and beat them in a playoff game?
No. Okay. But you're asking me, is it possible? I think so. No, your best case scenario with your Jets not making it for the Patriots to have a miserable end of the season is the fact that they'd have to go back into M&T Bank again.
Right, right.
I think that would be a big problem, and so that's why that Week 9 Sunday night game tiebreak in the Ravens' back
significant.
Pocket is huge.
Incredibly significant. No, you're
but
right
the,
about
in,
that.
In the NFC, though, I mean, it is totally wide open. And I still, you know, when you look at a team that has an opportunistic defense and an unstoppable player on offense and a first ballot Hall of Fame trigger man and a coach who's crazy enough to dial up the plays at the right time, fully, you know, confident to do it with a running game, that's why I still rely on the Saints here.
I'm with you on that.
As being the best team.
Yep. It's wide open, but I'm with you on that.
All right.
Imagine if Belichick has to go through Jacoby Brissett and then eventually
Jimmy Garoppolo.
They have to go through both of those guys to win a championship.
So right now to Rich Eisen call as we get to ready go into week 12.
Yes.
You like Pats? Let me get this right. Pats Saints Super Bowl. Is that what
you're saying? That's what I said before the season with the Saints winning it.
Okay.
Because, you know, I always rely on football gods, you know, having their way with a storyline, and that's where the Saints won it 10 years ago, was in that building.
That's right, Miami,
But I also said mid-summer, I said it in July, anybody can go on the Rich Eisen Show archives and look it up, that the Ravens, it was their division to lose in the AFC North. I took no Cleveland Browns cheese, none of it.
and
all the conversation about Lamar Jackson, you know, getting shown by the Chargers in last year's playoffs or being exposed by him, I'm like, I don't understand that language, that he now has a full season with a coaching staff that was brilliant enough to midstream change the offense. I mean, if you needed to, if somebody came down from Mars today and saw Lamar Jackson and thought that that was your prototypical quarterback, we would all sit down this Martian and say, no. This is the new version of quarterbacks. If you want to see the exact opposite of who Lamar Jackson is, we would show this Martian video of Joe Flacco. And this team, midstream last season, changed their offense to success, giving that team, that staff, a full offseason with Lamar Jackson, adding Earl Thomas the way they did. I'm like, okay, this team is really damn good, and people are sleeping on them. And right now, though, the fact that they'd have to go to Foxborough would genuinely concern me. I need to see how it all figures out.
They have one that, I will say this, John Harbaugh, who I think is the second best coach in the NFL, has won there in the past, has twice won playoff games there, and should have won a third one if they don't drop a pass in the end zone
and a kick.
Right. Former Bill Lee Evans was right there in his hand.
Right.
No, I agree with you. So there is history right there.
Yep.
But, you know, the hoodie, just to bring it all full circle, because I know you're probably blowing off flashes left and right
For you, Rich, we do anything for you, Rich. Don't worry about it.
Is that, just to bring it all full circle, here's the difference. And Harbaugh is brilliant. Belichick told this story, and again, I'm not telling any tales out of school. Jerry Rice makes this team when the receivers, are announced.
Yeah.
And Belichick, right.
No, exactly. I didn't think that
was
happening.
No, I've been instructed, don't give away. But again.
Oh, did Jim Brown make the running backs? I mean, come on.
The people that we have mentioned, are Belichick, Lombardi, and Rice. That's the.
Yes,
so I'm not giving away too much
of the spoiler.
Yes,
we get that.
Okay. He tells Rice, during this show, he tells him about one time, when the Giants are up, less than 2 minutes to go, Niners have no timeouts left, they
got to
drive the field for a touchdown, and he's telling his team, no way are we letting Rice beat us. No chance are we letting Jerry Rice beat us. So sure enough, he starts telling the story, and I'm paraphrasing it. I don't have all the exact details. Belichick clearly did off the top of his head, that the first snap of the two-minute drill was fumbled by Steve Young. And it created such a fire drill after the Niners recovered it that the defense for the Giants wasn't set. Young snaps it, finds Rice, touchdown. And he uses this as a guide and a teaching lesson every year to his team about how to be situationally aware in a two-minute drill if the opposing quarterback with no timeouts left fumbles the ball, to get back and be ready and be smart and keep your head about yourself. And I sat there and I'm like, how the hell does Adam Gase have any shot this year with the Jets? I mean, you know, how does McDermott, how does anybody, right? How does anybody
They don't. They got no shot.
There's no shot.
The answer is they don't.
They got no shot.
Because even if you are a coach who is situationally aware and trying to infuse your team with that sensibility, who has the ability to get your attention in August with six Lombardis already in the case to say, well, when I was coordinating against Jerry Rice, and here's the film. Who? Nobody has that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No, he's unbelievable. Look, he's a savant. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's the best.
He really
is. And we're excited to watch this NFL 100 All-Time Series.
Very pumped,
Rich. It premieres Friday, 8 o'clock on NFL Network.
By the way, one last thing before I let you go on the Jets. The owner is a disaster. That's the biggest problem. The owner is brutal. They should have hired Mike McCarthy. That's the guy.
I don't know about that.
Well, you don't know. Come on, give me a break. You too? You buying that Kool-Aid too? Why? Why not? Why not? Because Adam Gase's resume was better than Mike McCarthy's?
No, I mean, if you want to go down this road here, Joe, I mean, the guy to have hired was the Baylor coach.
I don't know.
Is he too green? He's too green to put in.
I don't know.
I'd take him over.
Well, we'll take him now.
Yeah.
Now we take him, but I don't know what Matt Rule is.
But the time to take him is before the guy proves his worth on the college.
I don't know what he is as a coach.
Well, you just because Mike McCarthy had 12 years with Green Bay is not the reason why you pay.
But we
him
knew
like
what
six,
Adam Gase was.
We knew
what Adam Gase was coming into it before they hired him. We knew it already.
All I'm saying is you could say what you want about the owner as he sits in London, you know, while the Jets burn.
Right. He's terrible. They're both terrible. The two brothers are a disaster.
Well, I mean, Christopher Johnson handled, in my mind, the whole kneeling, controversy.
What about the coach?
Come on. That's fine. Who cares about that? I'm talking about
What you care about that is it's an indication to players around the league that we understand
fine.
What might be going through your temples right here, and the Jets are a spot that you can come and play for.
Okay, that's great. He's a great owner.
I'm not saying he's a great owner.
He's great.
But
they've ticked off Rich three players already, whether it's Quincy Anunua
or
Semele. I don't know what their reputation is around the league.
I mean,
trust me, I'm not defending the Johnson regime. As a matter of fact, you know, what Woody's record was 500, and his brother's makes Woody look like Branch Rickey.
Right.
Yes,
so
it does.
I mean, I understand.
At least
I know
when
what
Woody
the numbers
was
are.
Here, they made the playoffs. Look, they made the playoffs seven times under Woody Johnson. I think it's seven. So you know, that's
I'm trying to find a
Jets.
Silver lining for you. I'm really trying to find a silver lining.
The silver lining is we got to pray the quarterback's the real deal. That's really what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
get
I understand.
The season with his psyche intact.
I understand.
Straight wins is very helpful.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yep. Thank you, Rich.
Rich, you know we love you, Rich.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Great Rich Eisen.
The face of NFL Network.
He is for many years now. NFL 100 premieres Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern on the NFL Network. Rich is going to host the six-week show along with Chris Collinsworth and Bill Belichick, revealing the NFL's
the great Bill Belichick.
All-time team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.